Welcome, everyone. We're about to begin Be'ezus Hashem, Shalom Bayis, Shir number 417. You have sometimes a couple that one of them has trouble talking about their feelings. They could talk about everything else at any time, any topic, whether it's money, whether it's vacations, whether it's about children, difficult topics. They have no trouble talking about any topic in the world, but their own feelings they have trouble expressing. Then you have another one that talks a lot about their feelings, but they have trouble talking about various topics that they need to talk about and to focus on those. And it's different communication style that they each have to get used to and work with each other. So the idea being is if a person has trouble talking about specific topics, let's say about money, right? People have difficulty talking about when they have to sit down and discuss, let's say, budgeting or working that through. So they know it's important. They know they need to communicate about it. But one of them, or the both of them, are pushing it off because they're not comfortable with it. So the idea being is that they really need to commit, especially the one that is having the harder time with that topic. Let that person choose a time, but they need to stick with that time, not procrastinate further, but to basically focus then their energies. No, I don't normally like talking about these things, but give me 2 days, this night, this hour, and we'll talk about it. That will mentally prepare them to have that conversation. What happens a lot is in communication is that when one decides, a couple together, they know they have to discuss various topics and work things through and discuss things to not overwhelm each other with those topics, but to make schedules on specific things. Because what happens a lot is that there's so much going on that you're going to talk about 9 different things. And we can't do that. Even in at work, if your employer, supervisor calls you in and all of a sudden rattles off 10 different things that they want you to do or they need you to work on, it's very overwhelming. Key is you do one at a time, piecemeal, baby, bites of things that could be manageable. We do that in marriage very often as well. We do this in parenting as well. Sometimes we have an issue with a son, with a daughter, and we call them in and then we lay it on them like 5, 6 different things that we want them to work on. And it's too much intake of information. It's overwhelming. Parent to child, it's overwhelming. Husband to wife to husband, it's overwhelming. So the key really is that you stick to one particular topic. It could be very overwhelming. There are people that have this. Sometimes what happens is it's kedai, also very important. If a couple feels something's important to talk about, if they know it's a lingering issue, then yeah, they work it out to say a time, we've been hashing this for a while. We really need to sit down and talk it through, and then you arrange a time. But then there are times where you think you need to talk about something, and then 2 days later, you realize it's not a big deal. And they just, both of them decide, this is not so important. We'll just let it go. It's not a main, we'll just move on from it. In other words, the key is in marriage very often, you don't need to react for every single thing that comes up. There are some topics that may come up that are not so difficult, that are minor, that you think at the moment, because in the heat of the moment, it's important. And you wait a day or two and then you realize it was nothing. But then there are other things they are more difficult topics. They are things that are harder, but need to talk about. So it's important to work with each other, set up a time, and discuss that topic. But the key really is not to mix in 10 topics at once. What happens a lot of times, I'll give you an example, is when, let's say, one of them was upset at the other one for getting a speeding ticket. So they'll start off the conversation, you got a speeding ticket, you're not driving responsibly. And then a minute later, the conversation goes to, I hate your mother. Now, how did I'm upset you having a speeding ticket have to do with I hate your mother? But that's what happens when couples get into heated conversations, and then they switch, their resentment bubbles up, and then they move from topic to topic in those resentments. And that's a very unhealthy thing, you know? Like you know, if let's say a speeding ticket, or that's an issue right now, and you feel that's not something you're letting go, and you want to talk about it, so you discuss it, but you stick to that. You don't pile on all these 10 other resentments that were in the past, or even in the present, and pile it on one on top of the other. So it's basically a twofold thing. Number one is in general, not to throw an overwhelming amount of topics in one conversation. And certainly when you are upset about something and it's a particular point where you want to focus on, because it's important to communicate that, you stick to that particular thing and don't let it, spiral down, you know. And that's basically very, very often what people do, married couples, is that they start off with, you had a speeding ticket, I hate your mother, and I hate everything else about you, and so on and so forth. And also what's important is to learn how to be dignified and respectful. And what people sometimes react, for example, if let's say a wife is upset at the husband for being lazy on some particular aspect, and he's losing the argument, so he'll throw out something like, "So, oh, okay, I guess I'm lazy. All right, I'll be just like your old fat alcoholic father," you know, something like that. So they lash out at each other in a very immature way, and it has nothing to do with what the wife is talking about right now. So that is really the concept of healthy communication, sticking to one topic at a time when it needs to be discussed, maybe arranging a time, allowing the one that has trouble focusing on topics to designate a time to talk about those things, and the ones that have difficulty with their feelings to work through it, to give a safe time and space to express their feelings. And the key really is, husbands and wives both need to know this in general, is that even, for example, if you talk to wives, they need to know that even if they see flaws in their husband, you know of his goodness too, and his good points, and you go and build upon that as best as you could, and you fill each other with simcha, with good humor. It's very important that the atmosphere of the house and of the communication, even though there's sometimes situations that could be tense, but overall there should be a certain type of a simcha, a fun, a happy feeling in the home. Life is serious enough as it is. Life is full of nisyonos, but the idea is that at least your home should be ari miklat, a calm place where you could talk things through, where you could have that side of a joy, of an inner simcha, of a calmness, even when things are going on. And that is a practice, it's a skill that one can and should try to work on. And so that is one aspect that we talked about now, which is communication. We're going to talk quickly about the idea of finances and practical things like that, to talk about money and tzedakah and spending it in normal ways and understand. I think if a husband and wife understand that, you know, we're talking about when they have money and they argue on spending and saving, if they both have this mindset that money is a pekudin from Hashem, and the idea is so that when you, it's very important that even as you alpiteva, what you're doing is, let's say you're earning money and you're putting money in the bank, and you don't look at money itself as a security. You trust Hashem as your security. You don't trust the money as a security. Even though you're doing your normal hishtadlis, it's still all a pekadin from Hashem. Hashem is giving you, it says, li hakesev li hazav. Do we believe that? Do we believe that when Hashem says, own all the kesev and zav and all the money that you have? Do we actually believe it? When the pasuk says ki hu anoisin lecha koyach lasas choyel, that only Hashem gives you the ability to make the parnasa and to give you everything you have, do you actually believe it? Sometimes our anxiety blinds us from believing these things, from having a emunah in Hashem that He's actually providing us this, and the money is not our money. Hashem is our security, not the money. And it sometimes anxiety blinds us. Sometimes arrogance blinds us. And I know inflation is unnerving when groceries go up, the gas bills go up. When it's fine, when it's normal, we could sometimes sit back and breathe easier. And when it's crazier out there and the finances are tighter, then there's an achrayus there. Number one is to strengthen our emunah, but also to do the practical things in budgeting. That's the normal healthy ishtadlus, not to go overboard. And one eitzah for couples that they know they're feeling tighter because of inflation or and other things like that, and when most people hate talking about budgets. It causes tension and it's very burdensome and it's an oil, but they know they can't ignore it anymore. They know money is going out and more money is going out than coming in, and we need to do something about it. And both husband and wife both know this, and they have to sit down to do it. So the eitzah is, one of the eitzahs is, for example, if there's 25 categories of things you spend on, you don't write a whole list of all the 25 categories and start budgeting every single category in a crazy amount of detail. Instead, you pick one or two areas that you know as husband and wife together, jointly, separately and jointly, what they tend to overspend on. So for example, one of those things may be food, and you ignore the other aspects. The food meanings that maybe you eat out more often, you do takeout more often, you buy extra stuff that you don't really need. Some of them gets thrown out, things like that. You know, that's a yetzer. You know, no one has really a yetzer to overspend on their cell phone. I mean, unless someone is obsessed with the newest gadgets or whatever it is. So, but if food is one of those things, you pick that one topic. For some people, it's extra clothing, meaning that they buy more than what they need. They can really do without the extra three sets of whatever clothing, and they get it anyway, and they could work on that. So the idea is don't overwhelm yourselves by taking 25 different categories and start budgeting every category. Pick one or two where you know is your weak point, and work on those, and work on a normal, healthy cutting down of it and budgeting. And this is called the 80-20, basically. It's what you're doing is you're spending only 20% of the zooming in of a particular effort, and it has 80% benefit. When you rein in on one or two areas where you have the most issues with and leave the rest, that's a good place to start. And it makes the concept of talking about budgets a little less painful because it's something that you could talk through. It's something that you could work with and deal with in a healthy way. So the idea being of the topic of this year is healthy communication, to learn how to talk to each other about everything, about feelings, even though it's difficult sometimes to discuss feelings for some people, to discuss certain topics, even though you always want to avoid it. Sometimes when you know it's important, it needs to be addressed. You pick a time, you work it through. The idea being, again, is that even if there's a lot of things going on in your lives, you don't say, okay, one night we're going to discuss all 50 topics that's on our heads of the things we have to deal with. It doesn't work that way. It creates a lot of tension and it gets very overwhelming. You pick one thing at a time, at a pace, at a normal, healthy pace. In other words, you have five issues or whatever's going on. We're only discussing this prat. That's it. This particular thing, we're going to work on a solution to deal with that. And that is basically the idea. Not to get into arguments about other things that are old resentments or other topics. And the key is to start backing each other up, loving each other, seeing your good points, and even if you have flaws, to recognize the good points and to focus on them. And by doing that, you yourself become better as a result, and your husband or wife that you're judging favorably will become better as a result, because they feel that you care about them and that you look up to them and that you see their good points, and then they'll ultimately want to become better. And to remember on the money aspects of things, it's an assignment for all of us. People have a lot of money, people have little money, financial pressures. Finance, money is a big sign, whether you have too little of it or too much of it. And no matter what, it's a juggling act. But the key is to remember, yes, we have to do our Ishtadlis, but it's a pekodin from Hashem. Hashem is our security. Money in the bank account is not a security. Hashem is the true source of all our security. And we turn to Hashem for everything. We do our normal Hishtadlis, but in our minds and in our hearts, as we're doing whatever we're doing, realize that Hashem Roi, he is my shepherd. Li HaKesa, Li Azov. He has all the money. He gives me my security and he takes care of me. And if you both put your hearts, a husband and wife, if they both trust Hashem, they decide between the both of them also, let's trust Hashem. We both want a bigger apartment. Yes, we both want to earn more money, or we both want this and that, and they're trying the best they could. Let's daven to Hashem. Let's trust Hashem. And let's work together in a normal way, in a healthy way. Help us have shalom brachas shaira. When you have shalom with one another, Hashem showers bracha on you. That's another skula for parnasa, is to have that shalom. And you have, again, it's hard because you can't give, you have to give people the benefit of the doubt. When people are really financially tight, it causes tension sometimes. And no one can judge anyone else. No one can judge a couple that's really struggling financially if they are more irritable than normal and feel tense. It's understandable, and we need to give the benefit of the doubt and be done the kavschos. At the same time, one needs to realize that Baruch Hashem, through the years, through the centuries, you have couples that, even though they were very, very tight and they couldn't scrape two pennies together, but in the house there was a certain calmness, there was a certain love, there was a certain yishuv hadas, and a warmth. You have stories about Rav Aryeh Levin, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, people who knew that in his house, it was a very poor house. But when people came in there, they felt like $1 million. They felt a certain security. They felt a certain warmth, a certain love, a certain hashras hashchina there. So that is something. May Hashem help all couples that are financially tight, that Hashem should be marchiv their parnasa and take away all their worries, and not just financial worries, but all their worries. But we're talking about financial worries at the moment. That Hashem should relieve it from all of Klal Yisrael, that everyone should have enough parnasa and v'hoiser and more than they need, and with a calmness, with a yishuv hadas. But while the person is in that nisayon, if a husband and wife make it their decision with the children to still have an atmosphere of a calmness, of a love, and a yishuv hadas, and that brings bracha into the home, and ultimately, hopefully, will bring be'ezus Hashem more bracha in a revealed way to all the houses of Klal Yisrael. Bracha natzlacha.